Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What is the Word of Wisdom, and how did it come about? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. If there's one thing that many people do know about the Latter-day Saints, apart from perhaps their history of plural marriage, it's the fact that many Latter-day Saints do not drink coffee or tea or partake of any alcoholic beverages or tobacco products. This comes from Section 89 in the Doctrine and Covenants, known as the Word of Wisdom. The heading of Section 89 gives us a little bit of background, and we want to look at that before we go into our study today.
It says, the revelation given through Joseph Smith the prophet at Kirtland, Ohio, February 27, 1833, History of the Church, Volume 1, pages 327 to 329. As a consequence of the early brethren using tobacco in their meetings, the prophet was led to ponder upon the matter. Consequently, he inquired of the Lord concerning it. This revelation, known as the Word of Wisdom, was the result. The first three verses were originally written as an inspired introduction and description by the prophet.
Now, before we get right into the actual text, I want to turn to a manual called the Doctrine and Covenants Student Manual, and this is published by the LDS Church. This is Religion 324 and 325. And in speaking of Section 89, there's a section called Historical Background. It's a citation from the Journal of Discourses. The Journal of Discourses, of course, being a 26-volume set of a number of sermons given by various leaders in 19th-century Mormonism. Most of those sermons were by Brigham Young, and this citation happens to be from Brigham Young. It's found in Volume 12, page 158.
President Brigham Young spoke about the coming forth of the revelation known as the Word of Wisdom. Quote, I think I am as well acquainted with the circumstances which led to the giving of the Word of Wisdom as any man in the church, although I was not present at the time to witness them. The first school of the prophets was held in a small room situated over the prophet Joseph's kitchen in a house which belonged to Bishop Whitney.
That would be Newell K. Whitney.
The brethren came to that place for hundreds of miles to attend school in a little room probably no larger than 11 by 14. When they assembled together in this room after breakfast, the first thing they did was to light their pipes and, while smoking, talk about the great things of the kingdom and spit all over the room. And as soon as the pipe was out of their mouths, a large chew of tobacco would then be taken. Often when the prophet entered the room to give the school instructions, he would find himself in a cloud of tobacco smoke. This, and the complaints of his wife at having to clean so filthy a floor, made the prophet think upon the matter, and he inquired of the Lord relating to the conduct of the elders in using tobacco, and the revelation known as the Word of Wisdom was the result of his inquiry. You know what it is and can read it at your leisure. And that's quoting from Journal of Discourses, Volume 12.
Now that's an interesting little tidbit of history, because you would think that most Mormons follow the Word of Wisdom mainly for health reasons, but yet the explanation that we are given here in this manual, and this is all that it does include as far as a historical background, it was more out of Emma not wanting to clean up after the men were chewing their tobacco and perhaps missing the spittoon. Even though Joseph Smith walks in a cloud of smoke, you have to understand that a lot of people smoked at that time, and so walking into a room full of smoke would probably not affect a lot of people back then like it may affect them now when you're not used to being in an environment like that. But I think what's interesting is it doesn't really seem to spell out a health reason for this. It sounds more like a cleanliness reason, or the fact that maybe Emma just didn't want to clean up after them.
Let me give you some support on what you just said, Bill, from Mormon Enigma, Emma Hill Smith, a book that was written by Mormon historians Linda King Newell and Valene Tippetts Avery. We actually did a series on their book, and this is what they wrote on page 47. Thus, Emma, faced almost daily with having to clean so filthy a floor as was left by the men chewing tobacco, spoke to Joseph about the matter. David Whitmer's account supports Brigham Young's description, quote, "Some of the men were excessive chewers of the filthy weed, and their disgusting, slobbering, and spitting caused Mrs. Smith to make the ironical remark that, quote, it would be a good thing if a revelation could be had, declaring the use of tobacco a sin and commanding its suppression," end quote. Emma had support among the women. Whitmer further reports, quote, "The matter was taken up and joked about. One of the brethren suggested that the revelation should also provide for a total abstinence from tea and coffee drinking, intending this as a counter-dig at the sisters," end quote. Joseph made the issue the subject of prayer, and the word of wisdom was the result.
So again, it doesn't really seem like it was born out of a real concern for health problems. It was more a complaint on the part of Joseph Smith's wife, Emma, who had to clean the mess after the men would leave their meeting. Do you see a problem with this? I'm not seeing a connection with health reasons. I'm just merely seeing it's a cleanliness problem. The fact that that account talks about the men suggesting that Joseph Smith mentioned something about coffee and tea as more of a dig back at the ladies sounds also not having to do anything with health reasons. It seems more out of revenge. If the men are going to be restricted in some way by a revelation pertaining their tobacco, then let's do something that will also punish the women, who are really the whole cause for our restriction in the first place. You see what I mean by that?
Well, and the point, too, is that this regulation is so vital in Mormonism today that if this was just a dig, if this was just meant to get back at the women to eliminate coffee and tea and to do what they wanted by getting rid of the tobacco, if that wasn't from God but was from men, then why does the church center so much importance on this issue? And in fact, Apostle Boyd K. Packer, he's the president of the apostles, he wrote in the Inside magazine in March 1996, page 17, this is what he said about the word of wisdom. It puts restrictions on members of the church. To this day, those regulations apply to every member and to everyone who seeks to join the church. They are so compelling that no one is to be baptized in the church without first agreeing to live by them. No one will be called to teach or to lead unless they accept them. When you want to go to the temple, you will be asked to keep the word of wisdom. If you do not, you cannot go to the house of the Lord until you are fully worthy. And being fully worthy, Bill, is agreeing not to drink coffee, tea, or to smoke or chew tobacco.
Which goes along, of course, with that question that's asked in the interview when a Mormon is hoping to get their recommend, their little card that allows them to enter into a temple. One of the questions includes, are you following the word of wisdom? This is quite a switch from the way the revelation is portrayed in section 89, at least in the first three verses. But remember, when you read that introduction, it says very clearly that the first three verses were originally written as an inspired introduction and description by the prophet. Now, even though it's not a part of this alleged revelation, we are given the impression that what Smith puts here in verses 1 through 3 is a result of some inspiration that he received. And of course, we need to assume, I'm gathering, that this inspiration came from God. But yet, look at what it says. It doesn't say anything like what the Mormons are telling us today.
Here's what it says, verses 1 through 3. A word of wisdom for the benefit of the council of high priests assembled in Kirtland and the church, and also to the saints in Zion. To be sent greeting, not by commandment or constraint, but by revelation and the word of wisdom showing forth the order and will of God in the temporal salvation of all saints in the last days, given for a principle with promise, adapted to the capacity of the weak and the weakest of all saints who are or can be called saints.
Now, we get the impression that this is merely an inspired writing by Joseph Smith. This is not a part of the revelation. Notice what it says, folks, in verse 2. To be sent greeting not by commandment or constraint. If it was originally given by God, not as a commandment or by constraint, why does the LDS Church today make it a commandment and constrain its people to follow the precepts in section 89.
And that's a great point, Bill. And at the end of verse 2, it says the temporal salvation of all saints. But that's not the way it's been taken in the past century. In fact, George Albert Smith said this in Teachings of Presence of the Church, in the manual that was dedicated to him, George Albert Smith, page 207, this is what he said. I sometimes wonder if Latter-day Saints realize that the word of wisdom has been given to us for our exaltation, not only for our temporal blessing, but to prepare us for spiritual life. It sounds much more than just a temporal salvation. According to him, it's meant for exaltation.
Exactly. And the wording in verse 2 says it's the will of God in the temporal salvation of all saints in the last days. And you see what George Albert Smith did. He expands on that. So here's the question I have. If this is really something that came from God, why did the leadership feel that it was necessary to put words in God's mouth, making it a commandment later on, that you can't even, as Boyd Packer said, what did he say there? You can't even go into the temple, and to become a member of the church, you're supposed to be following the word of wisdom.
To be worthy is to obey the word of wisdom as interpreted by the Mormon church.
And of course, if you're going to be baptized into the Mormon church, one of the things that you covenant is that you are going to keep the commandments. This is a part of the commandment keeping in the LDS church today, even though originally that was not to be the case. At least as I see it as an outsider looking in, it sounds very clear to me that if I'm going to believe that this was originally given as a revelation to Joseph Smith, that God either forgot what he said originally when he inspired Joseph Smith to write verse 2, to be sent greeting not by commandment or constraint, and then about 100 years later, we find definitely it becomes a requirement in order to get in the temple. Now, even though Brigham Young in the 1850s start to put the hammer down and start making it more of a responsibility of the Latter-day Saints to follow, but certainly when you get into the 20th century, it definitely becomes a requirement just to get into the temple. Did God forget what he told Joseph Smith to write in verse 2? It seems awfully odd to me that God does seem to have forgotten what he said to Joseph Smith that is recorded in verse 2.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.